Hello everyone, welcome back to Family Forever Child's Conversation on Care podcast. My name is Amanda Griffith and I'm the CEO of Family Forever Child. Family Forever Child is a growing network of currently 40 local civil society organisations working on the ground in 36 countries. And these organisations have a wealth of knowledge and experience from years of working with children and communities to develop solutions to improve children's care. Today's podcast focuses upon the topic of domestic violence and its impact on children within the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. Governments around the world responded to the spread of COVID-19 by imposing lockdowns, quarantines, and school closures. While these measures have contained the spread of the virus, they have also increased the risk factors for intimate partner violence and child abuse, leading to what the UN has described as the shadow pandemic of domestic violence. Family for Every Child Alliance members have reported that domestic violence has increasingly become an issue to which they have had to respond. Our members have been in close contact with children, families, and communities during the pandemic. And they have seen that domestic violence is being inflicted on children, either directly in the form of child abuse or through children being affected by the increased intimate partner violence within families. My guest today is Iftikhar Ahmed, who is director of one of our member organisations, the Centre for Services and Information on Disability, known as CSID, based in Dhaka, Bangladesh. CSID was established in Bangladesh in 1997 with the aim of reducing discrimination against marginalised people and addressing barriers to accessing rights. Their particular focus is on the protection of children with disabilities. In Bangladesh, families trying to care for children with disabilities at home often receive no or minimal support, which is often a key factor in children's separation from families. Through their work across child protection, sexual and gender-based violence, institutional and policy reform, access to skills and livelihoods, and more, CSID works to help families stay together. Iftikhar, welcome, and thank you for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to our discussion on these very important topics. Could you explain a little bit for our listeners the context in which you're currently working in Bangladesh?
Actually, CSID is working for the most vulnerable children with disabilities in Bangladesh, who are living in the very congested, poor condition in the slum areas of Dhaka, Sylhet and Barisal areas, and also who live in the very remote areas of Bangladesh who don't have any opportunities actually. And you know that children with disabilities are the most vulnerable to violence, abuse, exploitation and neglect. Especially girls and women with disabilities, they are more vulnerable to domestic violence and other violence. CSID conducted a research in 2002, where we have found that girls and women with disabilities are more vulnerable than boys and men with disabilities. This is one thing we have found. Even if we think about the neurodevelopmental disabilities or hearing and speech disabilities, they are also more vulnerable to domestic violence and other violence because of communication barriers. Mm. Yeah, this is one thing. And, you know, though there are some mainstream schools is there and government has the rules to include children with disabilities into the mainstream schools, but because of negative mentality of school community, even of the caregivers, most of the children with disabilities are still out of schools. Yeah, even there are schools in Bangladesh, which is mainly for the autistic children, which is very expensive, and most of the people cannot enroll in those schools. And one thing I think I should say that children with disabilities are more risk of child labor. In Dhaka city, most of the parents of children with disabilities, they think that the children with disabilities don't need to go to the schools because after the education, they don't get the job. Yeah, that's why this is the risk of child labor. And another issue is that if any child with disabilities are begging on the street, it will be more profitable. Yeah, this is another risk of child labor. And so many children with disabilities also drop out from schools, and they are also become child labor. Yeah, this is the main reason actually.
And so what work do you do then around inclusive education and trying to make it so that the schools are more able to cater for children with different abilities?
Yeah, we are implementing 3 projects on inclusive education, and we need to work into the holistic approach, mm-hmm. I should say. Mm-hmm. We work with the teachers, we work with the parents, we work with the school management committee, we work with the government also. Mm-hmm. And even we need to work with the children with disabilities also, because most of them has some low level of confidence because of continual negligence. Yeah, so many things we need to do. Even some parents, they don't want to pay the money for the education of children with disabilities. Sometimes we need to pay money to those parents. These types of work actually need to do for the inclusive education.
So it sounds to me that there's also a lot of the need for changing perceptions about people with different abilities to see that actually they have a right to education and a right to employment after education.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, Iftikhar, in terms of your experience in the communities that CSIRD supports at the moment, what have you seen as the particular impact of COVID-19 as a pandemic, particularly looking at children with disabilities and their families?
Yeah, actually CSIRD is working about 2,000 children with disabilities for their protection, education and social rights. And before the pandemic, we regularly provided education support at assistive devices support, medicine supports and other support to those children with disabilities. But suddenly the situation has changed because of COVID-19 situation. And most of the children will become stunned. Yeah, because of communication barrier, even the parents sometimes don't share with them. Even there are some children with disabilities who need regular medication to reduce their trauma or some psychosocial things. Yeah. But because of pandemic, we could not go to their home to provide medicine. And there are huge parents lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. This is also a bad situation in the community. And, you know, therapy service is very important for autistic and other children with disabilities. Because of sudden pandemic, they cannot receive the therapeutical service also. Even the children with disabilities home we are working, they are live in a crowded, very crowded and densely populated area. That is also highly vulnerable for COVID transmission. And another issue is that though the government is providing awareness materials regarding COVID infection, but most of the awareness materials is not accessible for the children with disabilities. That's why they could not receive those types of service also. Even food, the government is provided food support, even still they are providing food support, but lack of information and inaccessible situation, huge children with disabilities could not receive those support.
So it's a real combination of different factors then that are leading much greater isolation and discrimination happening because of that combination of factors. As you say, happening both to the family as a whole because of the parents' economic livelihoods being put in jeopardy, and then also the specifics of the transmission of COVID, and then the specifics related to children with disabilities, lack of access to medication and therapy and support. So in that context, Iftikhar, which is obviously deeply worrying about what's happening for children with disabilities who already, as you said, facing stigma and discrimination and isolation and exclusion, it's been very apparent that lockdowns brought about by COVID-19 pandemic have had really devastating impacts upon levels of domestic violence in homes. And we've recorded that in many countries across the globe. And I wondered, what trends have you been seeing in Bangladesh, and what particular factors come into play when you're looking at children with disabilities being involved or experiencing domestic violence in the home?
Yeah, definitely. We have found that the domestic violence increased after the pandemic. As an example, so many family members who lost work because of the pandemic, and they were very traumatic, and because of those traumatic situations, they sometimes are violent to their children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And before the COVID-19 situation, the children with disabilities went to school, some of them went to work, some of them went to outside just for gossiping that reduced their trauma or psychological issues. But after the COVID and a sudden situation, their psychological situation also worse. And the family members sometimes cannot accept the new psychosocial situation. And they sometimes violent to the children with disabilities. And some children with disabilities, they are boring at home. They don't have any recreational activities. And they are so even sometimes violent to their siblings. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, the parents are violent to their children with disabilities. Why you are doing these types of things?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, Amanda, I need to talk about the neurodevelopmental disabilities. Yeah. They are more vulnerable situation, and they are facing so many domestic violence issues. Yeah. Even we have found some girls, they are also lack of communication or other issues. They are also at risk of domestic violence.
And as you say, that this risk of domestic violence, which has increased dramatically, is also presumably the difficulty in reporting. Because if you're saying that even before the pandemic, it was happening most to children who had difficulties with communication, then I'm imagining with these children being very isolated, and also not able to have access to people to communicate, but then also the difficulties with communication. How have you managed to assess the situation in these homes? How have you managed to get access to these homes?
Yeah, actually, though the whole country was locked down, but we had to go to home to manage some children with disabilities.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we go to the community, organize community meeting. Sometimes we organize virtual session with the parents. Sometimes we organize virtual session or a meeting with the children with disabilities also. And I have mentioned that children with disabilities are still idle in the home. They don't have any education. That's why we went to the field and provide them some playing materials or some storybooks.
Yep.
Yeah. Even regular counseling was one of our part. Yeah, that we have done to reduce the domestic violence issues.
So just tell me specifically, how have you managed to raise awareness of those issues, discuss those with families? Because clearly it's a very difficult topic to raise within a family, the issues of violence that's happening, particularly in a family when everybody is present. You know, you can't have private counselling and private therapy. The survivors of the violence can't go to somewhere private to contact people. How have you managed to have access to families and raise the communication and discussions about what's going on?
Yeah. We organize community meeting, even organize meeting with the parents. In Bangladesh, there are some government committee. We call it community-based child protection committee, who are working with the government, and CSID is the part of that committee also. So we involve those committee also. And Amanda, I should say, there are so many parents who didn't even know that hitting to the children with disabilities is a part of domestic violence. They say, no, this is not domestic violence. Yeah, that's why we need to organize parents' meetings, sometimes virtually, sometimes face-to-face, maintaining social distance. So many things we need to do.
So it's actually understanding that corporal punishment is violence. You're saying within those communities, that's not even an acknowledged or realized.
Some of their treatment is okay.
So you're having to do awareness raising with families, but then also that you've got the advantage of these community-based child protection committees to help you. Can you tell me a little bit more? So who's on these committees and how are they formed and how are they managing to respond to the specifics of domestic violence?
Actually, based on the government's Children Act, each local government should form a community-based child protection committee. And the local female local government, one female local government representative is the chief of the child protection committee. And there will be some parents and NGO representatives also. Okay. They are working in the very root level. And they are working very well, though they have little capacity to address children with disabilities. That's why we are working with them.
Okay. And how are they, what have they done differently around domestic violence? How have they managed to raise those issues? And what do they see as their ability to make changes or to support families?
When the pandemic happened and we have found that the domestic violence is increasing for the children with disabilities, at that time we organized meeting with the community-based child protection committee and aware regarding the issue of domestic violence. And even we have provided them some documents regarding domestic violence that we have found from Family for Every Child, UNICEF and other organizations. And after that, they themselves realized that they should work. And still they are working regarding the issue.
So what sort of impact have you seen as a result of these different interventions, Iftikhar?
Yeah, definitely because of those interventions, domestic violence reduce. And caregivers and children with disabilities are aware now that what is domestic violence actually? Before that, they have little idea. And because of our activities like providing game materials, because of that, the trauma of children with disabilities reduce. Some children with disabilities are now taking medicine from local communities and local community clinic that we have linked with them. Even CSID is also physically go to the field, And because of our work with the community-based child protection committee, they are more active regarding domestic violence issues now.
Okay.
This is the impact actually.
And in terms of that, as you say, that one of the major stressors is unemployment and all the family being in very dense habitation, so living very in very close circumstances, because these are very densely populated slum areas that you work in. In terms of how, has there been any intervention that you've come up with the families to sort of reduce those levels of stresses and concerns and worries so that, that are leading to the violence?
Yeah, we have provided food support to the to those families.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, family for every child, UNICEF, and some other international organization and national organization provided food support. Yeah.
Okay.
To those communities.
So providing even really, so a mix of practical support like food as well and access to medicines, as well as awareness raising, training on the issues of corporal punishment, increasing people's understanding of how to parent in a way that is not violent. So you've brought together those different pieces to enable it to reduce the level of domestic violence within the home. So what have you found as the key challenges that you've been facing in your work about domestic violence?
So many challenges, actually. It was very challenging, Amanda, to manage some children with disabilities through virtual counseling. Because they are not used to virtual counseling. And at that situation, some of our staff had to go to the field because there was no option there. This is one challenge. And I have mentioned already that so many parents thought that this is not the issue of domestic violence. This is their rights of parents. We need to work with them also. And CSAJ received some reports of girls with physical and intellectual disabilities when the whole country is strictly locked down. In that situation, very strictly, we had to go to the field and reduce those types of issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these types of challenge actually we faced.
And as you say, I think it is that children with a disability already tend to be isolated in communities and are difficult to access. So that this lockdown and the restrictions on movement for staff has increased that isolation. But I think you said that also that it's hard to use. Did you say that thinking about using virtual counselling techniques? Because many providers like yourself, I think, have moved to doing things online and doing virtual. But have you found additional barriers to that for children with a disability because of access to technology is not the same?
Actually, the children or families whom we are working, they are very poor families. Mm. Yeah, that's why though some of them has a smart mobile, but we need to provide them data support. Yeah, for the virtual counseling. Otherwise, it will not possible, actually.
Yeah.
Because they are very poor. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Thank you, Iftikhar. That's given us a flavour of the different things that you've been doing and the immensely challenging environment for children with a disability, which has been made even more difficult because of COVID and lockdowns and the stresses on the families because of those factors. So I wondered, just in bringing this together, working in partnership and collaboration are core principles for Family for Every Child's network, and more than ever during this COVID pandemic. And I wondered, has CSID benefited from any particular collaboration with other organisations during this particular time and in terms of responding to COVID?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, whenever we are seeking for fund for the children with disabilities or their family, Family for Every Child at first came for the support of food, nutrition, and other support. Because of those support, we have provided food support, nutrition support, psychosocial support, and other support. And UNICEF and Save the Children and FCDO also provided such kind of support for our children with disabilities. Yeah. And definitely we should say thank you to Family for Every Child for their kind support at that emergency situation.
Yeah. And in terms of learning from other members, have you had a chance to link in with other local organisations that are members of FAMLI and share practice or develop each other's practice together?
Yeah. Actually, I have found some materials, learning materials from other family members, partners, and we always use to this. Whenever we have received any documents, like a Family for Every Child send us some documents from WHO, yeah, World Health Organization, and immediately we have translated it into our own language and oriented our staff regarding the issue. This is actually knowledge building types of support we have found from community, Family for Every Child. And definitely, Amanda, I should say that knowledge building is one of the most strong support that we are still receiving from Family for Every Child.
And you contribute significantly to building that knowledge, because you bring such a wealth of understanding and experience of working with children with a disability. So I know that you, as an organization, have managed to build the skills and expertise of other members to consider the specific issues of working with children with a disability. Our time together is nearly up now, Iftikhar, but thank you so much for this fascinating conversation. And thank you to those of you joining us to listen to this conversation on CARE Podcast. At Family for Every Child, we are currently working on a toolkit to guide practitioners around the world in supporting children and families to prevent domestic violence affecting children. This will be available around September time, and we will share it widely at that time. In the meantime, for more learning and exchange on this topic with like-minded practitioners, please do join our community on the Changemakers for Children community platform. Visit changemakersforchildren.community to register. The more users there are, the stronger we will be. We hope you will join us next time. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.